Today's episode of Rob is a Podcast is sponsored by DraftKings.com. Because at DraftKings.com, you don't need to come in first place to cash in. The person who finished in 800th place in the week one biggest fantasy football contest still took home $100. And it doesn't matter if any of the games go into OT or OTT. This weekend, DraftKings is still having another huge fantasy contest with over $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Just play whenever you want with the players you want. Pick out your contest, draft your team, and follow the action live, just like the live feeds on the BBOTT. Renew old rivalries with friends and family and coworkers to find out who the superior GM really is. Whatever your level of fantasy expertise, DraftKings has something for everyone, so don't wait. Go to DraftKings.com now and choose your players for this week's fantasy contest. Enter promo code ROB to play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code ROB to play for free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man who still hasn't gotten one present from his family on International Podcast Day. I am Rob Cisternino, and we are back. Big Brother OTT. That's right. We're ready to talk about what's going on the OTT. And hopefully somebody can figure out and tell me what the hell I'm supposed to be watching. As we're here with two of our live feed correspondents who really are the two most important men in reality TV as of right now. Let's welcome back to the show for the first time in BBOTT Propa. First, a man who shares a name with one of the house guests. It's Kidwell. Kidwell, how are you?
I'm doing, Rob. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Happy to be back here on BBOTT. Alex, are you enjoying the first 72 hours of the OTT?
It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of cool seeing the actual premiere and not the, you know, doctored premiere that they usually kind of sell us. So that's kind of cool. I'm just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, though, when America takes over this game.
Okay. All right. And the man who is infected with the bug of BBOTT, it's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. You know, I've learned that my life has been actually pretty good. You know, I haven't totaled any bicycles, so
that's good.
I'm looking pretty good here.
That's good. All right. So here we are ready to talk about the BBOTT. Again, this is the first time that we're doing this podcast. And if you're listening to this without watching the BBOTT or being subscribed to CBS All Access, which you could do at any point for a free week at robisawebsite.com/BBOTT, we're going to try to piece together what's been going on over the last 72 hours. Certainly some interesting stuff, but it is hard to sort of track the narrative if you're not standing by the live feed 24/7. And of course, with BBOT, I don't see any possible way that we could do this without it just being all spoilers from the right from the get-go. Is that a fair thing to say, Taryn?
It certainly seems like it. I don't think we've fully experienced what it's going to be like what kind of recap. Like, we've seen one recap so far and it was very short. I don't know if they're all going to be like that yet, but certainly for right now, there's no way to do a show without spoiling.
Yeah, the one recap you can find now is about 6 minutes. It's on CBS.com. I do know that the plan is Wednesdays are supposed to be weekly recaps. And all I can assume is there wasn't a proper one Wednesday because there wasn't any footage at that point. So maybe next Wednesday we'll get something more resembling a show. But yeah, up till now, it looks like, you know, just very short, you know, 5-6 minute daily recaps is your show, so to speak.
So let me just set up this show. So hashtag RHAP, we're going to take your questions along the way to talk about what's been the latest happenings from the BBOTT house. Of course, if you listen to Jordan Parhar on Wednesday night with these guys, you know, and from the picture behind me, that it was Jason who made it into the Big Brother house. I felt like there was a little bit of mocking that I felt like Jose had a shot to go into the house on the podcast on Wednesday night.
Mocking, like we were goading him on, giving him false.
Oh, crazy Rob thought Jose had a shot at this thing, and he did not.
Well, you know, Rob, my inside sources told me he was dead in the water.
Dead in the water.
Mr. Will told you that?
Somebody told me that.
Yeah. All right. Well, so it is Jason over Jose. So best of luck to Jason here in the game. And so we have a lot of stuff going on. If you did not catch any of it on Wednesday night. So basically, as the guys alluded to, that on Wednesday night, you got a package of basically the little bit of promo of everybody sort of like getting their key. Although I don't think there were any actual keys involved for the BBOTT house. They couldn't even afford keys for BBOTT, right?
They just leave it unlocked. Yeah. They can't afford locks either.
So here are all the people
it's
going.
It's become like a squatters, like a place where squatters can just post up in between seasons.
Right.
It's not actually the same production company. They just snuck in.
Yeah. So everybody went into BBOTT. And then the actual entrances all played out over the live feeds, which was very interesting. And just to reset that, Taryn, you enjoyed that or it was too drawn out?
It was too drawn out. I mean, I enjoyed it because it's something we've never seen before. And me being like my nerdy self, I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like I'm getting to see something I've never been able to see before. There's all kinds of new information that I'm able to gather. But yes, I think for the average viewer, certainly it was much too drawn out. And even I would have liked to see it happen a bit more quickly.
Yeah. Alex, in the BBUK version of this, where they do it that same way, you know, you see somebody come into the house and then we get the package of that next person coming in. So it's not really happening in live real time. It's sort of like happening like a day before what we see on TV. But that's not exactly what this is. That probably would have been better.
Yeah, I agree. The UK, I mean, you know, I've not watched all the seasons. I've certainly watched many of the celebrity seasons, but that is a very polished premiere night that they do. And you don't lose the first impressions like you do with CBS's package, typical Big Brother show where they wait for a week and then give you an hour or 2 hour episode. Instead, it really is. It has the same feel as this BBOTT, but they do it in such a way where, yeah, you've got the live audience at right outside. You've got Emma Willis interviewing people. You've got a video package of each person right before they go in. So yeah, it really does feel like a more complete product.
All right, so let's bounce around. Let's cover some of the headlines just from a big picture standpoint. Taryn, are you happy with this cast now that you're seeing them in action? Are you looking forward to watching them?
It's a little early to tell, I think. I'm really liking what I'm seeing, but I don't know how much of that is because it's the early feeds I've never been able to see before, or if it is the cast. We've certainly seen some potential for sure, but you know, there is a sort of majority clump that's starting to form, and it's starting to look like it may turn into a like a bro situation, which obviously people aren't huge fans of. But I'm definitely higher on the cast than I was preseason. I've been impressed with some people.
Okay. And Alex, how has Jason's landing been here in BBOTT?
Not great, Rob.
Not great. Oh no. Oh no.
Yeah. You know, this is it's a tough spot. You know, we talked about how it was going to be an uphill battle for four vets in a house of 16, real uphill battle for one vet in a house of 13. And yeah, I mean, people just making first impressions, you know, this is really what's cool about seeing all this now is that when we come into the Big Brother house after a week, people have already formed first impressions. And that's what you really want to hear. So finding out who people first have little bits of like, oh, I can't believe she said that. That's a thing. You know what I mean? Like those are the things we've missed before. So that's cool. At the same time, it is kind of revealing to see that like, oh, nobody really has a good reason to target anyone. And here's this guy who's played the game before.
Yes. For Jason fans like us, if Jason has a quick exit here in BBOTT, would you say that his Big Brother career is potentially over, where maybe there was sort of like a dark horse all-star season berth waiting in the wings for him, Alex? Is there a lot riding on this for Jason?
You know, I would like to say yes, because I think he's a great character, but unfortunately, just based on the way casting tends to work, I think it's going to be hard to see an all-stars house that doesn't have Frankie Grande. And then you're looking at like how many quote unquote, like, you know, as Brent talks about, they don't like to fill multiple gay slots on a season. As unfortunate as it is, they do seem to be set in the way they cast or typecast a Big Brother season. And that's why OTT is a little refreshing, because it does seem to have more variance, at least in terms of personalities that we don't typically see. Like Justin's a guy I don't think you'd ever see on a normal Big Brother season. Maybe that's me, but
yeah. Well, let's just talk big picture in terms of how you guys are viewing this, because I'm very confused with what I'm supposed to be doing as a very busy Big Brother over the top viewer. So I certainly appreciate it. I went Thursday morning. I was busy with Survivor on Wednesday night, and I went to CBS.com and All Access, and I said, okay, here's the video to watch. I was like, okay, well, this is short. This is 15 minutes. I got through that, and I said, okay, ready to watch what happens next. And then there is a bunch of highlights, Taryn, but I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to be watching. Am I just supposed to sit there and watch them in order? Because the problem there is these highlights don't end. So I don't know if I've reached the end. I'm just sort of like jumping back in time. And now I'm just watching the live feeds from a certain point. But it's not like you're watching a YouTube clip where it's going to reach the end of like, okay, I'll go into the next one. It's just like now I'm just watching the live feeds from a certain point in time.
This is really funny because this is stuff that we do all the time. I don't think they've set it up very well for the casual fan. But what you do with the highlights is, you know, you go to a spot and basically you stop watching after it gets boring. I mean, that's just generally how you treat a highlight. But yeah, I totally see what you're saying though, because like nobody knows what to do in that situation. Like there needs to be a more easily digestible way to consume this content. I'm seeing a lot of people, not just you, but on Reddit, on Twitter, just asking like, what do I do here? I don't understand how I'm supposed to watch this because I can't just watch 24/7. And obviously not everyone has the time to catch up with everything that's been happening manually either. So yeah. I hope that they figure something out to, give some sort of thing.
This is what it should be. And I don't know if anybody in any position of authority listens to the show, but I've been saying this for years. And this is what I feel like that Big Brother After Dark should be. I don't need to be watching the live feeds on After Dark. It should just be some sort of like SportsCenter type show. And whether you have Jeff Schroeder or any host that you pick up off the street, hey, here's the best of the last 24 hours on the live feeds. Let's go back to 9 a.m. Jason was up first and he has an interesting conversation with Scott over breakfast. Here's that conversation. And then we just see a 5-minute clip and then we go to the next thing. And that should just be an hour show. It would take a couple of editors to just do that. It's probably going to be stuff that might be in the cut down show at the end of the day, but it's just highlights from the day. And we don't have to get fancy. We don't need diary rooms. But at least I know what I'm supposed to be watching. And I'm not spending, if I have an hour to watch Big Brother, I'd rather not be watching 1 hour of something boring. I'd rather skip to the hits, Alex.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's absolutely well said. And, you know, I think it just really speaks to that they're feeling their way kind of blindly through this thing. And they don't exactly know what's going to work and what won't. So, you know, maybe as this season goes on, we'll begin to see more once they get more footage, once they have more behind them, maybe we'll see some more complete, polished, like quote unquote episodes. But for now, I guess like the best thing I can say is like, if you're a casual viewer with minimal time, I think the best way to probably watch is like, there's a few apps you can download on your phone or like websites you can go to that have like pretty regular feed updates and they're out there. They're easy to find.
Yeah.
And with timestamps and like, if anything seems interesting or seems like good confrontation or a good strategic moment, like look for that timestamp and just, you know, try to correspond it to the feed. So like having two things up, it's a bit of a pain, but that's probably the best way to go at this point.
And really, as I'm saying it out loud, that really what I'm describing is like Big Brother UK. I mean, really is sort of like, you know, it should just be like, Jason and Scott are eating breakfast when something happens. And it's just a voiceover. It's a voiceover and cut to a clip. I mean, and that's how you do a daily show for Big Brother. And I think that would be fine. I don't think you need to really go and reinvent the wheel. I really felt like that the clip show that they did, the 7 or 8 minutes, I felt like that was probably too produced. It was almost like they did like a 7 or 8 minute like previously on Big Brother. And it was too much work, Taryn.
Yeah, I totally agree. It felt very edited down, and it was basically an elongated previously on. Like even the announcer, like he had a little too much energy for that prolonged period. But it was hard to follow everything that was like. I saw all of it, but I still was like, wait, what did I just watch? It's gone already. I feel like hopefully this is just like their initial shot at it. You know, they had a little time to work with, not a lot of stuff to put together. So maybe they'll get better at it as they go on. But yeah, certainly so far, not impressed with the production side of things.
Yeah. I do think that they're feeling this out, and hopefully that this will continue to get better. Because I think that for the most part, I do think that there's some interesting things that are going on. Taryn, this first HOH that they played on this season, I feel like that this was a very un-Big Brother-like competition that they did. And it was almost like Shades of the Genius here in BBOTT.
Yes, and I said that on Twitter, and people yelled at me for comparing it to that. But so we should emphasize it's like very, very baby version.
Very, very baby version of the Genius. Are we playing Big Brother? Or are we playing Big Baby?
Yeah. But yeah, it is. It's basically, it's just a game that they're playing throughout the day where they're picking and choosing like one by one. Basically how it works is the initial person drank this thing. It said, drink me. And somebody drank it. It was Shane who drank it. And the game is he chooses somebody to infect because he's now infected. Then that person chooses to infect somebody else and so on and so forth until there's only one person left and that person is HOH. We've never seen anything like this on Big Brother, and it sounds like this is the type of competition that we're going to be seeing moving into the future with this season, and I'm really excited for it because this is way more exciting to me than any sort of physical or quiz or any sort of competition that Big Brother has ever done.
And it's not something that really we thought was on the table for BBOTT. So I think that, Alex, this is something that should give us some hope for what they might be doing here.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, yeah, it's certainly affordable. And we knew that was going to be on the table as far as the competitions went. But yeah, it's got some mental elements to it that maybe we wouldn't have expected. I think we would have thought more just kind of, you know, generic kind of true false type of stuff. So yeah, that's cool. Cue the extreme ways. I'm with it.
Yeah. So this was very fun, and I think that it's a interesting thing that we might be seeing as we get into more of these sort of long-form strategy games as opposed to the stuff that we've seen previously on Big Brother in terms of HOH competitions, in terms of quizzes or endurance competitions, because you don't have to do a big build in the backyard.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, like, sorry to Trevor and all the great competition people that Big Brother hires, but these are some pretty great ideas.
Yeah. Again, that stuff, you need to fill time, and you need sort of like these big competitions to, you know, fill 3 hours a week of the show. I think that there's going to be basically so much going on inside the house over the course of the week in just 1 hour that I don't think you need to worry about that stuff as much. So let's talk about some of the gameplay that's been going on. So Taryn, could you begin to describe what the power structure of the house looks like?
It's very preliminary at the moment, you know, obviously. But basically there are some tight pairs that we can point to. Obviously the sisters who have been doing a decent job of staying under the radar and working different people. Nobody has quite caught on that they're sisters yet. Jason noticed that they look quite similar, and Alex accidentally called Morgan Mo, like a nickname, and Shelby caught that, but they were able to play it off. So far they're still undetected. Morgan is working with Shelby. She just had a conversation today where they seem to sort of solidify a little bit. Alex has been working with Whitney a lot. They're very, very close. And all of them are somewhat working with Monty and Shane, who are also a pair. And that's the main power in the house right now, because what I didn't mention before about the HOH competition is that ultimately Monty ends up winning. And so they are sitting in the power position at the moment. Then we have on the other side of things.
By the way, sorry to interrupt, but so there's an alliance chart from 89 Razor Skate 20 on Twitter that's been floating around on Reddit.
This is
a reliable chart. So I'm just going to email this to Scott, and then we can bring this up on the screen.
Yeah, he does these every season.
Okay.
Yeah,
and it is already slightly out of date, but it definitely gives a decent portrayal so far.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, if you're looking at this alliance chart, you know, listening to the podcast or whatever, if you're looking it up, it also mentions the boys alliance, which is Shane, Monty, Cornbread, and Scott. They are probably the most solid, actual group of people that are working together so far. And they are also obviously connected to this main power alliance. But on the outs of that, we have this alliance that was created last night. It's not super solid by any means, but it's got a lot of fun people in it, basically. They call themselves the OTT Jamboree.
Yes.
Yeah, you know me.
And it consists of Jason, Shelby, Christy, Justin, and Scott. How solid is this? Probably not very, because Scott, as we mentioned, is part of the Guys Alliance, and he hasn't quite outed the Jamboree to the Guys Alliance, but he's definitely not loyal to them by any means. And it also has Shelby, who also seems like not super loyal to these guys. Chrissy is probably the most loyal. She was just talking with Jason as we're speaking about potentially having a final two with him. And then Justin is just kind of Justin. He's out there, not really loyal to anyone in particular or thinking in terms of strategy at all.
Yeah, I mean, he really is out there in every sense of the word, Alex.
Yeah, quite a character, Justin. He's your token. Where do they find these people guy this season for sure?
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
Well, yeah, I had seen, I believe,
deep in Nolens.
Yeah, Hamster Watch had some tweets yesterday of Justin. He's going to be naked, getting in and out of the shower, and he's just whatever.
He could not care less. Yeah, he's very, very free spirit, Justin, and it's very interesting because you know you begin to wonder like, could this succeed in this kind of a game, or like nobody's probably going to target him anytime soon. That he cooks and he's like completely oblivious. So what's, you know, and so but I guess some people could think the obliviousness is an act and some people have speculated it, but it's not. That's the funny part. It's just kind of crazy.
Yeah. All right. Let me just bring up this alliance chart. Scott's got it up on the screen. And again, thanks again to 89 Razor Skate 20 on Twitter. Definitely shoot a follow over on Twitter for more stuff like this. So, Alex, of these alliances, who do you think is in the best position in your mind?
Well, I like Scott's spot, right? Because Scott's the one person who's kind of in both sides. And even though there is like the Ronnie danger, right, that he's like doing this a little too soon, he's kind of working all angles. It does put him in a position where once America kind of has some say in this game later this week, once America maybe makes a nomination, America shows where their vote lies, Scott's kind of the one person who's in a position to use that information and then allow it to kind of redirect his game and be able to kind of find his footing, kind of like Arlie in Big Brother Canada 2, I think, where, you know, he was in with the first five, but he also had these deals on the side. And when he realized Canada was, you know, turning on that alliance, he was very quickly and very easily able to kind of switch over.
Taryn, I want to switch back to Jason. How hard has Jason been playing from the get-go? Has he come in with sort of guns blazing, or has he come back and really just tried to be very chill?
He's been pretty chill for the most part. He spent a large part of the day yesterday just hanging out outside, talking to the people that were outside, and left a lot of the people that were inside talking up on the second floor to themselves. He said that he went to go up there, but then they were talking about brain hemorrhages, and he was like, ah, never mind.
brain hemorrhages.
Yeah, they were talking about their life stories and stuff. But that turns out to be a little bit of a mistake, because the people that were up there are now currently a lot of the people that are in power, and they're a little wary of Jason because they haven't talked to him quite as much. They're scared that he's a returning player, and even though Jason has now sort of rectified that mistake, he's gone to people like Shane and Monty and said, I want to work with you guys. I'm not targeting you. They don't really believe him. So he's done, if he was a new player, if he was not a returning player and he didn't have that target on his back, I'd say he's doing pretty well. He really has made efforts to be in both sides. But the fact that he has this target on his back is just, he's not quite playing well enough to take it off of his back yet.
Alex, I want to talk through the business of the BBOTT week. All right. So if Monty is the HOH, what happens next? Because we don't get to our nominations, I don't believe, until what, Monday or Sunday night?
So my understanding is that nominations, the way they'll work is like over the weekend, basically over Saturday and Sunday, Monty is going to gradually be asked to declare house guests safe. And there is no, you know, nomination ceremony proper until basically he declares everyone safe but two people. At which point it's like, oh, these are your nominees. So that's my understanding and how this is going to work. And there may be something more formal at that point, but it seems like it's more of like a trickling safety than it is like an outright declare two nominees.
So it's almost like, Taryn, that we've taken the key ceremony and extended it to over the weekend?
A little bit. I think what it is, we saw the safety ceremonies on the schedule for this. I believe Julie said at two different points, you will be asked to name a certain amount of people safe. So I do think it'll happen at a ceremony. It won't just be like, you know, at this hour, you'll name one person and at this hour, you'll name another. I think they'll give them a certain amount of people, you know, on Saturday at 10 p.m., you know, name five people safe. And then on Sunday at 10 p.m., name seven more people safe or whatever it is. And so that seems to be how it'll work. So not quite as gradual, but definitely in the same vein where you're, you know, you're slowly counting down.
Yeah. Well, I think this could be pretty interesting in terms of like, okay, well, that you're going to have your target and your pawn, and then you're also going to get into like, well, you're going to make me safe the first night, right? You're not going to make me sweat it through two nights. Okay, well, who are going to be the five people you're going to make safe at the first safety ceremony? So, Alex, I do think that there's an opportunity here for to create some drama out of these safety ceremonies.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've always advocated that we miss kind of the key wheel and the uncertainty that, you know, seeing people's names called in different order, counting down as opposed to just turning the keys to the two house guests brings. I think that really is an element of the old game that has kind of been lost. So, yeah, I think this is good.
So what do we get to vote on, Taryn, in this first week?
Well, I briefly want to say like about the safety ceremonies, you know, something else that is something that's in play here is that when you narrow the choices down to be nominated, say the first night you choose seven people to be safe, that leaves what, like five people left that are potentially going to be nominated. Now the campaigning is limited to those five people all of a sudden. And so you have different kinds of campaigning. You know, what happens if there's only, you know, three or four people left? And so now you're specifically targeting other people just because they're not safe. And I think that could lead to a lot of interesting scenarios.
Look at you, Biscuit. You sound excited.
Yes, I like these rules. But yes, the voting, this is where I'm not quite as excited. We are going to be voting. It was announced on four different things, potentially more in the future, but they currently announced four different things. One is that we're going to be, for the first time in Big Brother history, voting to nominate a third nominee, which... if you didn't get the sarcasm, is not the first time in Big Brother history. Mm-hmm. We saw this happen in Big Brother 15 after the MVP was given to America three times in
all right,
a row.
So America is going to get to cast a vote for one. We're putting up a third person on the block. We've won the roadkill.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And MVP at the same time.
And the MVP. So we're going to pick somebody to put up on the block, the person that we hate the most.
Presumably.
Basically.
Okay. All right. So that's one thing. All right. So we got to talk about that. All right. So then what's number two, Taryn?
Number two is we're going to pile on that person, I imagine, by giving them a vote to evict. We will also be voting for one vote in the eviction.
All right. So we get to nominate a person, but potentially the person that we nominate won't be the person that we are going to put a vote on. Hypothetically, our most hated person could already be on the block. There could be a person who's like the third most hated person in the house. That's who we put up on the block, but then we can still cast our vote for a different person.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
Hypothetically.
All right, hypothetically. Yes. So America's vote goes on one person. Okay, that's not too bad. It's a little bit of an America's player type thing, so that's fine.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, yes. What's the third thing we're going to vote on?
So the third thing is have-nots every week, right?
Oh, who cares about that? All
we're
right.
going to be determining, well, I think someone could care if it turns out that they're going to be a have-not week after week after week because America doesn't like who they're targeting.
So potentially, you could have one person who's really having a breakdown as America has put them on the block. America is putting votes against them. America is making them a have-not.
It's a rough life.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's the fourth
You're
thing?
Painting a dark picture.
What's the fourth thing?
The fourth thing is care packages.
Really? Really? Ooh. Care packages?
More care packages.
Guess who's back?
Yeah. What are they going to be? What are the care packages going to be?
Advantages in the game. They were not specified what the care packages
would
be.
We don't get a list like last time?
Not yet. Not yet, at least. But I mean, really, they should just say, instead of care packages, they should just say target.
Oh,
because who wants to like let everyone know that America loves you and get this care? Now, not only does America love you, but you have an advantage in the game. You have some sort of power. Like, who's going to want to take that person far in the game? Nobody.
Yeah, that's interesting. So when do our votes need to be in on, Alex? Because I didn't see anywhere where we're voting.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's an opportunity to vote until we know who the people nominated are. So nomination reveal is Sunday evening. So I assume like voting will go live like Sunday night and you'll be able to vote like through Monday, I guess, when the veto competition is. I don't know. Maybe my time might be off there, but
boy, really going to have a quick turnaround from Sunday to Monday. But I guess if everybody who's watching is watching the live feeds, I guess they're going to be on top of the ball with who's going to go up on the block potentially. So, Taryn, do we know who Monty's targets are for nominations this week?
Yes. One of his main targets is Jason.
Uh-oh.
And he's also a bit wary of Chrissy. And Neely is also on the list of targets. And I believe Justin is just kind of like, maybe we'll go after Justin, but it's probably not worth it. So he still has a few names up in the air. He hasn't quite decided yet.
Yeah,
Justin's name got mentioned. Like, yeah, he's a floater. He's not doing anything, but he cooks. Yeah, he cooks.
Yeah.
Okay. So there it is.
He cooks.
It matters.
Alex, if Jason goes up on the block here in week one, first, does he have any suspicion that he could potentially go up on the block?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely a little wary of it, which is why, as Taryn mentioned, he was doing a bit of damage control with those guys this morning. I think, yeah, if you want to nitpick one thing in Jason's game, he hasn't like necessarily gone out of his way to gravitate towards the personalities that he wouldn't naturally vibe with. And I, you know, I did catch him at one point talking to the feed saying like, y'all just had to put a bunch of hillbillies in here for me. It's like the one type of person I don't do. And like, I get it. Like he feels like the cards are stacked against him a little bit right now. And not for nothing, this alliance is kind of all the Southern white people in the house.
Like, oh boy.
That's what happened.
Oh boy.
It's just a fact.
Taryn, did Jason give you a shout out in the Big Brother house?
Yes, he did. He gave all of us a shout out, really.
Yes.
He was talking about RHAP and he said, shout out Taryn, shout out RHAP. He talked about when he was on the podcast, he said you probably hated him because he was talking about hookahs and stuff.
No, definitely not. I think we would have wanted him to come back on more times.
No, yeah, we love Jason.
Yeah.
So hopefully when he gets out, we'll have him on again.
Yeah, hopefully. And who he was talking with, Scott, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And Scott did the coming to you live from my apartment.
The only other person in this cast that even knows that this show exists.
Yes.
So good stuff. Well, hopefully good luck to all of the people who are aware that we exist in the house. So let's then try to figure out, Alex. So if Jason ends up going on the block, you know, I know he took so much grief from people about how he handled being on the block the last time around. How do you think that he is going to handle it this week? Do you think that he is going to really just go balls to the wall campaigning? Or do you think that he is going to potentially be much more laid back about it?
I think a third option, Rob. I think he's going to go balls to the wall campaigning to America. Once he realizes like who really kind of controls the third nominee, who can put him in a position to suddenly have like a new target that the house can turn around on once they realize how much America does love Jason.
Wow.
That's really what he should be going for. And that's what he will go for because Jason understands he's watched BB UK. He's watched BB Australia. He knows how to work the cameras. And he knows that what didn't work for him last time was being complacent. So he won't go that route. And honestly, like, I do believe that he'll recognize at a point that the value in campaigning to the other house guests is somewhat minimized this season relative to the value of like making people recognize that if they're with you, they're with America. I think there's definitely something there.
Taryn, is Jason now the official second coming of America's player, Eric Stein?
Maybe the opposite. Cause like opposite. With Eric, I feel like America was like just constantly trying to screw him. And I feel like Jason has America on his side, like potentially doing work for him, because Alex brings up a great point. You know, it might not just be the person you hate the most that you vote to nominate. Maybe once Jason is nominated, he says, listen, America, you know, you guys are the ones that are voting. You can hear me right now. Nominate this person. This is the person that I have the best chance against. And maybe that actually works. We don't know yet because we haven't seen what kind of votes are in or what kind of audience is voting.
Yeah. Do you think that he has the agency and the wherewithal to be able to identify, okay, this is what'll happen? I mean, this is like a real master plan that you're describing here, where he's sort of like the maestro of like, okay, now put your votes over here, now put this, now do this. I mean, this is without having the information and being able to really like look at the polling data.
Well, I think it's just, you know, it comes down to a recognition of who's watching and what they like, because he spent so much time on live feeds himself and watching foreign versions where, you know, the public influences. Yeah, you know, he really does come with a unique brand of knowledge to this season that I think even the diehard fans of Big Brother US aren't necessarily prepared for. I mean, I've heard conversations from, you know, this Monty alliance, you know, and people like Alex saying like, I really think America will respect us for going after Jason first. And I can tell you right now, that's not going to happen. So who knows? I mean, if they see that America like turns around and puts like Monty's best buddy Shane right on the block and then is like casting votes to evict him and stuff, like, you might see people jump ship pretty quickly, or you might see them double down and say like, all right, well, let's all the unlikable people just stick together. So Yeah, it could go a couple of ways, though, I think.
Okay. All right. Fascinating stuff. Let's start to dive into some of these questions. Hashtag RHAP if you want to get your questions into the show about the BBOTT first 72 hours. And why don't we start with Joseph, who wants to ask us, how can someone lay low but be the HOH? Is that something that we said? We just said somebody that had laid low, but they're the HOH?
I certainly don't think Monty has laid low. Maybe he's claiming he's laying low, which is not true. Or they're asking, how would you go about doing that? I don't think you would do that. I don't think it's really, I mean, basically what you do if you want to lay low as the first HOH is to say, I'm just going to do what the house wants me to do. But even that is a little bit difficult with this style of HOH competition, because Monty sort of had to proclaim that he wanted it in order to get it, because otherwise people would have been willing to give him the bug and he wouldn't have been HOH.
Okay.
And important to note, if this is answering the question, just to kind of cover bases here, it was a situation where it's not like you can hide and disappear and have people not give you, if somebody said, I'm giving it to this person, like, that's it. Like, it's yours. It doesn't matter if you were locked in the closet or whatever.
Alex, any other standouts for you so far in this early going of BBOTT?
I mean, from a character standpoint, I love Justin. I love Shelby. Jason is obviously great entertainment. He knows exactly what feeders like to watch. So he's good at talking to the cameras. I'm shocked to see Scott be able to, work multiple sides of the house. Like, when are people going to stop trusting this archetype? I guess never. Like, even Nicole, she was the female super fan. She's the one super fan with glasses they cast, or her and Christine, and they brought her back and she won. Like, how many times do we have to read this book before people are going to stop writing sequels? I don't
know. Holy crap.
Okay. Tater Salad says, does Cornbread need to stay away from Monty? All right. How's Cornbread doing, Taryn?
Between Tater Salad and Cornbread, we're halfway to a balanced meal.
Yes.
Cornbread is doing all right strategically. I think he's falling in the polls because as this question asked, he's close with these bros, and the bros are obviously on the bottom of all the polls because nobody likes bros. People want to like him more, but he is associated with these people, and he was the one that was like, oh, give me the bug because I'm not afraid to give it to Jason and take him out of the running. So he's sort of made the mistake of being active against one of the fan favorites.
Yeah, watch it, Cornbread.
The most vocal anti-Jason guy. He's the one that actually gave the bug to Jason when Jason was hoping to get HOH and just secure his safety this week. So, yeah, Cornbread, by doing so, has made himself the face of the anti-Jason group.
Oh, you Cornbread, you're going to be up on the block real quick.
A lot of people on Twitter today are now saying Cornbread's the one we need to put up. He's not even half as funny as we thought he would be, and he's a douche. So he's overhyped, guys.
Overhyped Cornbread. Nothing worse.
That's the danger. It's you want to take out the guy that you think is going to be the clear threat to win America's hearts first. But if you're the person who makes yourself the face of that action, week one, you're going against America's hearts like that.
All right. So here's what we're doing. Okay. All right. First, step one, Cornbread is the third nominee. Okay. Number two, Cornbread, have not. Number three, put a vote on him. Number four, get him fired from his job. Number five, but everybody flag him on Twitter. Get him kicked off Twitter. Does he have a Twitter?
I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sure he does. And Jason has also started calling him Corn Fed.
Corn Fed. Oh, come on. No fat shaming. No fat shaming. We're not cool. Not cool, Jason.
This is from the same group of people that coined Thickums. So, Thickums.
Yeah. No. I was waiting for the joke about why there's no broken down truck in the backyard of the Big Brother house.
That's the roadkill. Yeah, it's the roadkill.
That's right. Yeah, they missed their window.
They missed it. No. So it'll be interesting to see just how quickly everybody is on the same page or not. I'm joking. No, don't do anything. If you want to vote against Cornbread, go for it. So in terms of, there was something else I wanted to say about Cornbread. Oh, no, I have an email letter from Lita Taryn's co-host on the American Ninja Warrior podcast writes in to say, hey, we've heard Cornbread tell a lot of sob stories, which seem to have endeared him to some, but Shelby and Morgan already pointed out that he could be a threat down the line. In general, is it best to tell sob stories right at the beginning in order to be likable and make allies quickly? Or is it better to save them and not tell them at all to avoid being seen as a threat? Here's hoping Alex isn't evicted from the podcast because he's the only one whose birth month doesn't start with a vowel. Okay. So then let's talk about this idea of Cornbread. I did feel like that he could be maybe hamming it up a bit on like playing up a character. Taryn, have you gotten that sense from watching him on the feeds?
A little bit. He definitely plays up these sob stories, as Lita puts it. And it's an interesting thing because normally I'd say it's not a terrible move. You know, you need something to form quick bonds with people in the beginning of the game. But with these rules, people are thinking about the end of the game already, and maybe they shouldn't be because it's really early, but they are. So they're thinking about Cornbread as somebody who's going to potentially win if he gets anywhere near the end, which is a dangerous thing to have as a perception of you this early in the game.
Alex, do you feel like that? Are you sympathizing with Cornbread, or do you think that he's like trying to play some sort of like Susan Boyle type card?
I think I would be more inclined to sympathize with him if I felt like he really understood the game, but I can tell that this is not someone that really is a true fan. You know, he may have said like, oh yeah, I'm a fan, but this guy definitely has not watched much Big Brother. In fact, he wanted to call the Four Guys Alliance the Four Horsemen. So like that tells me a lot. Yeah, I think, you know, it just speaks to
Let's not pile on somebody for not quite knowing their Big Brother history before we say we're out on them.
Friendship.
You know what I mean? You know,
true story. I just wonder if the diary room will let them do that. I have to think they might say like, no, try again.
Yeah. Well,
been done.
Well, you act like, the, you know, there's some gatekeeper in the diary room that's seen Big Brother 5. You know, it's entirely touché. Possible. It's entirely possible. Yeah. You know, that, yeah, I mean, know,
Survivor just gives me all these expectations. I guess they're unrealistic. What can you do?
Yeah. Okay. Christine Radice, she says, can we call BBOTT Alex Sister Alex, or call Alex Kidwell Sister Alex ironically?
No. I'll take Kidwell over Sister Alex all day.
Big sister? Yeah.
Hey, big sis.
I mean, are Alex and Morgan doing a convincing job, Taryn? I mean, I do feel like why not just come out and just own up to this?
Oh, no. You have to work this. And they're doing it really well because, you know, they basically have one person in the house that is completely loyal to them and will tell them everything. And they're able to split up and make solid relationships with other people. Like I said, Alex has been working Whitney, and Whitney thinks that Alex is her number one right now, that like they are the tight duo, when really she has another person who's also a duo and has formed another duo with Shelby. And they're also making other alliances, and nobody realizes how tight they are. Could they be doing a better job of keeping it secret? Yes. They keep standing right next to each other, wearing the same outfits, having their hair look exactly the same. I can barely tell them apart sometimes. So I wish that they would do a little bit more to differentiate themselves. But what they're doing is effective. And honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if at the end of this game, we said, okay, it was way too overpowered to have siblings in the house without exposing them.
Yeah, Alex, the funniest thing about this to me is that Big Brother is sort of like, in a small way, gaslighting Jason to some degree, where he's like, hold on, she looks exactly like her. But they can't again, right?
Not again.
I know I must be going crazy because they wouldn't put two sisters in here again and try to trick me again, right?
Yeah, this is supposed to be expect the unexpected. So surely, like, he's double psyching himself out there.
It's like that can't possibly be accurate, right?
Yeah, and it's like they're both blonde. They look the same. They're both from Texas. It's way too obvious. No way. No way would they do this again.
I'm expecting the unexpected, but they told me to expect the unexpected. So then I should expect the expected. But does that mean it's expected? So then I have to unexpect what's expected of me to expect?
Mm-hmm. Too many levels.
Too many levels. They're trying to mind F him. Ashley wants
to know.
No
wonder Audrey went crazy.
Yes. What do you think of Justin? He seems to be in his own little world. So Alex certainly seems pro-Justin. Taryn, are you pro-Justin?
I don't know if I'm pro. I mean, I think he's interesting to watch for now. I think that it's like a good gimmick is sort of thing. But I think that we'll probably be tired of it in a little while. And so I'm not super high on it. But for now, it's fun. So
I do feel like on a standard BBC season, I'd be like, this guy's a waste of a casting slot. I'd be a little more irritated. But given the, you know, the loose nature of this game, given the pilot, you know, sense of this kind of a season, I'm more willing to, you know, he's certainly a character. You get some great sound bites already in like 70 hours from this guy. So sky's the limit, I guess.
Can we talk through the showmances a bit? Because it definitely seemed like it was Justin and Danielle through night one. But then I've been reading about Shane and Danielle. So where's the real showmance here, Taryn?
It's definitely with Shane and Danielle. They spent a lot of time yesterday and last night talking by themselves. They were even in bed at one point, being a little flirty. And it's been called out all day today. It's getting people a little wary of Shane saying, you know, oh, Shane, he's really been close with Danielle. People aren't super high on Danielle in the house. So suspicious of that. But that definitely seems to be the pairing. Justin came on to Danielle in the first night very strongly, and he thinks that he's very
knows
funny.
One way, yeah.
But not quite interested in him in that way. She definitely seems more interested in Shane.
Okay, interesting. Very, very interesting to see how this is all going to play out. And Danielle, I might have put the kiss of death on her, but I locked her in as my winner pick for this season. Yeah, Alex, the numbers back me up here that Big Brother Danielle's tend to do very far. They tend to go deep into the game,
right?
Yeah, I mean,
you're coming off success. Nobody can give you too much trouble for this.
I didn't really waver on. I did say that Big Meech was going to win the game at one point, and that was probably the nail in her coffin. But I did feel like at the start of the season, I did have a good feeling about Nicole. It didn't go exactly the way that I drew it up. I think it was a much more convincing win in my head at the start of the season than how it ultimately played out. Speaking of Big Meech, a lot of talk has been going on in the internet chatter about the idea of Big Meech coming on board to podcast with us this season. So hopefully, with any luck, if everything holds to form, early next week, we should get Big Meech on here to talk about some BBOTT with us. So excited about that coming up early next week, perhaps Tuesday. I just got to figure out the Australian Survivor podcasting schedule with Stephen Fishback to make it all work out. Lots of stuff going on right now. Lots of stuff cooking, like Justin at the, what's it called? Jay's Seafood Doc.
Yeah,
something this like is, that.
Yeah, one big reality TV etouffee.
This is ours podcast doc.
We've got the Meechmentum, Rob.
We've got the Meechmentum. That's right. That's right. Talk about BBOTT with Big Meech. Big Meech did not have the live feeds yet. I was very surprised that they had not given her the live feeds.
We'll give Glenn a water bottle. Michelle feeds.
Yeah.
CBS, what are they doing over there, man? Come on.
Steven Schultz says, should production have sent in at least one more returnee into the house with Jason? Taryn, would that have taken some of the target off of Jason here? And should they have sent Jose in?
Well, yes, they should have sent Jose in, and yes, it would have taken the target off his back. But I don't know. I mean, you know, you go in as a vet, you have an advantage already. So I think having one vet come in is probably the most fair way to do it, honestly. So, you know, I would have liked to see Jose go in the house, you know, as well. And I would have liked to see Jason have a little bit of an easier time because I don't want to see him go out week one. But I think it's.
Yeah. Alex, has Jose taken to Twitter yet? Has he given us any official statement?
That's a good question. I haven't checked.
Yes.
I'll do that and get back to you.
Yes. That he said, okay, just real quick, he tweeted that you guys are pretty quick to assume crap. Why everything I post on my Twitter, you guys think has to do with BB, get a grip. This is one thing he said. He also tweeted out, I'm glad they nominated two gay men. Why would I be upset? You guys act like BB is literally your whole life. Have a good night. So the Messiah has spoken.
Oh, man.
Get off my lawn.
Messiah.
Get off my lawn. Well, he's probably mad at Jose Nation for letting him down.
Well, he shouldn't be mad at Jose Nation. I'm sure they all voted for him.
Not enough. They didn't spread the good word. He needed Jose missionaries.
Yeah, do you see this picture of him as Jesus with a crown, mm-hmm. like a, you know, ancestral crown, and it says, that is all?
That is all.
He was set up for a fall. I think you know, he built. I think people didn't do him any favors with the Jesus stuff. Like, I think the problem was, like, there's a lot of jokes that he came out and thought were like legitimate praise.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, maybe we'll hold out hope for a true All Stars for Jose.
Or the Grammys.
All right, a couple more questions. Andrew Kirk says, from your guys' perspective, who's going to be America's nominee now that the likely target Monty is now HOH? Alex, you sticking to Cornbread?
Yeah, I think Cornbread, from what I've seen online today, it's definitely the popular sentiment. I mean, sure, things could change, but he's done everything he can to really try to make the fans hate him, really. He's not been the guy that was advertised, like the funny Donnie type. You know, he's been more serious and more focused on, you know, talking about personal stuff and also strategizing. And yeah, I don't think people are, you know, this isn't what we thought we were getting.
Yeah, just to revisit the Jason versus Jose battle one more time. In the true tale of the tape, Jason Roy, 70,000 Twitter followers, and the Messiah with just 10. So really outgunned 7-1 in the Twitter follower count.
Yeah, never had a chance.
Yeah, maybe not a fair fight. Poor Jose. So he's so upset. Jason McDaniel says, true or false, Shelby has the face of Parvati and the voice of the Nolan twins. You know, I thought that she has the look of a young Jennifer Aniston. What do you think about this, Taryn?
I mean, put them all together, right? Like, she's a very attractive woman. but no, I think that's an apt comparison. I do see the Parvati face and definitely the Nolan voice. And you know, something to be said about
the Rachel
Shelby
haircut.
I wasn't even alive when Friends was on. I was a little young for it.
Yeah, because it's not on in reruns every day.
Yeah, who wants to watch a show from the 90s that's like, whatever.
Oh, you biscuit. You are messing with it. You're going to be getting some Twitter hate.
Doing a Seinfeld podcast.
No, I'm saying that the Friends love is strong on the internet. Biscuit.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
Yeah,
but I do want to say about Shelby, she is one of the more popular people in there, and for pretty good reason. She's very entertaining, and she's been doing a really good job at underplaying the lawyer side of her. Like, she's a lawyer. I think she finished her grad program in 2 years when it was supposed to be 3. And she's like a very smart person, but she's comes off very not smart. And she's doing a really good job of playing that off while being entertaining, while being in with the right people. And I think she's definitely someone to watch. I thought she was going to be too aggressive, and she hasn't been. So I'm really much higher on her than I was preseason.
I like her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Called it.
Okay.
Plenty of room on the bandwagon.
Yeah. Shelby bandwagon. Let's go. Let's do this. All right. Stephen H., are you still down with OTT? I'm down with OTT. I wish I just knew how to watch it. I wish it was so far I'm okay with the product. It's the packaging. It's like I ordered one of these things from Amazon. And I didn't get like the frustration-free packaging. And I'm like, how do I open this?
I didn't know this was IKEA. I didn't know I was going to have to do all this work.
Yeah, right. I can't get the thing open. That's the problem. I like it. I want to get to what's inside. I don't know how to consume it.
It is. It's really good so far. You know, these have been some of the best feeds we've seen probably since Big Brother 17, the first couple of weeks. And I'm definitely really high on it. Like I said, like, my one caveat is that these America Vote things, I'm not super sure about them. I think that really the all optimal way of playing this game is to just be really boring and don't make waves, because if you are too well liked, you're going to get care packages, and that's going to put a target on your back. If you're too hated, you're going to be nominated, and that puts you in danger. So being in the middle of the road is probably the best place to be.
All right. So a couple of others.
Looking forward to coming to you guys when Scott wins Big Brother OTT.
Yes. All right. So you think Scott's going to win BBOTT?
By Taryn's definition, yeah, he's definitely got a good shot. I mean, this guy's, he's definitely inoffensive, and he can blend in if he needs to, I think.
I mean, I thought we opened the show talking about, like, how are people still trusting this archetype of this guy who's going back and forth and, you know, telling the alliances everything. I mean, that seems like there's at least some risk there.
Yeah, there's some risk there, but, you know, I don't know. I like Taryn was talking, I don't think America is necessarily going to turn on Scott unless Scott decides to, like, you know, go with the bros or something like that. Yeah, you may. And
the thing about this archetype is that people have been talking about Scott. Scott, he's way too in with people. We can't let him get to the end. You know, they did that on 17. They did that on 14. Like, we're not going to let him slide by. And that's what everybody says every season about this archetype. Yeah. And they never talk about actively targeting him.
Ian, not going to let it happen.
Not going to happen. All right. So fun stuff. All right. So tonight we have our first ever live diary room sessions. Taryn, do you have a sense on how this is going to work?
I think from what I read, it's basically going to be that they're going to come into the diary room and they're going to have like a set of questions that maybe were like taken from fans or something like that. And they're just going to read out the questions and answer them. So we're not going to get like a typical diary room session where there's a producer asking them questions. You know, nobody wants to see that anyway, because there's just, I imagine a lot of it is just like, can you just say that, but like more excited, and can you make a pun there? So,
Oh, you think they let them make the puns?
Well, they'll let them try, and then they'll be like, you know, this one might be better, actually, if you do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is interesting, because, yeah, with, like, the UK Big Brother, in the diary room, you do hear the person who's behind the camera often asking a question, if it's, like, a poignant question that they want you to understand the basis for the answer. So it will be interesting to see if we get that. The fact that they've got a segmented block structured off for live diary rooms makes me think it will be a bit more of, like, a, you know, on the therapist's couch type of thing.
Okay, so that's coming up here tonight. Also, I'm getting word that Bridget is going to be doing a Reddit AMA tonight. So, Alex, you can get in all your Mr. Jenkins questions.
Oh, man. I got to go look up plant life. So let's wrap this thing up so I can understand better. So yeah. I have good questions.
I do have to say, I thought that she was the nicest person that I talked to on the, red, you know, green AstroTurf carpet in the backyard. I thought that she was just a really, really fun person to be around. So all the best to Bridget and her AMA. And then Jordan Parhar is going to be back live talking more OTT with the LFC this weekend. Do you guys have a time locked in?
Did we say 7?
Don't look at me, okay, man.
Look.
Sunday evening.
The best thing about the new robbezawebsite.com is that we have an upcoming shows tab. So whenever that gets locked in, it's going to say right on the front page when the next live event coming up on the website is going to be. We got a lot of great Survivor podcasts for you to listen to. PG Law was here in person, Alex, on Thursday.
I know. Cool stuff.
Yeah, it's very fun. Cool. Had PG here in the studio. And so that video is up on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube, or you can listen to the podcast version as well. Then I spoke last night with Darnell Hamilton as we went through your voicemails on the week in Survivor. So a lot to check out there. Of course, I will be back with some more BBOTT coverage with the guys and Big Meech coming up early next week on Tuesday. Then as well, we are going to have our Australian Survivor know-it-alls once again. I think only 2 episodes, only 2 more hours of Australian Survivor to pile on the furnace this week, Taryn.
That's great, because I have like 4 to catch up on. So
yeah. Could there be any more episodes?
No, there really couldn't be. Yeah. There's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, there's a lot of episodes. That was for you, Taryn. That was a Friends reference.
Fantastic.
Yes. All right. And then, of course, we'll get back into all of the Survivor again on Wednesday. So a lot to do here on the podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes+. Don't miss Alex Kidwell and I talking about the big season finale of Fear the Walking Dead. Alex, you have a viewing party planned on Sunday night?
I guess I better get to work on that.
Yeah,
I can Skype in for you.
I'm worried about finding enough people that are down to watch Fear the Walking Dead for 2 hours with
yes.
me.
And then,
but if, assuming I can find those people,
yeah,
wrap
so
up.
A lot of stuff going on Fear the Walking Dead, and looking forward to when we get through Sunday night to finally be able to say to Fear the Walking Dead, we are on a break. So excited for that coming up after Sunday night's episode. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. What's the hashtag, Taryn?
I don't know.
What do you got? You got anything? Got anything chat room? Got anything, Kidwell? Don't say corn fed. Don't say corn fed.
Get out of my head, Robert. Get out of my head.
Don't do it.
This is scary.
Don't do it.
Man, this is a rough one.
Yeah. Something about Friends.
Right, We'll see. I don't want to mount people getting mad at Taryn and then asking him to get fired from this job. Sister Alex,
Would you fire me for not watching Friends? Look, I'm not gonna, but
if enough people say that you have to get fired, then you know, what am I gonna do? Alright, hashtag Sister Alex is gonna be
yes, there it is.
Alright, have a good one. Looking forward to hearing what you guys
Alex, that time has come.
Alright, looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.